happy. We're back here at the cafe at Artichoke Music. Next week, Jennifer Carrizo from McMinniman's will be here to talk about what's going on at the Mission Theater. And the answer is a lot. But this week, a new conversation from a couple of months ago, and I profusely apologize for the delay, with one of our best singers and songwriters, Anandi. She has a lot to say about jazz singing, especially the Latin variety. At the time we talked, she had just released a new album called A Better Way. We'll hear a track from it at the end of our conversation. Please meet Anandi. Welcome. Welcome to the Oregon Music News Coffee Shop Conversations and the Artichoke Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. How are you?
So good to be here.
How are you?
I'm feeling really good today.
Good.
The sun is shining.
You had what?
The sun is shining today.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And it's winter.
We got through the ice.
So far.
I know. February usually is pretty icy.
This will be another
it
probably
came early
another
this
one.
Year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I funny was the thing. I had company in from Chicago during the whole ice storm.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was going to show her around town and everything because she'd really never been to Portland. But it was okay because we could just take it to hang in my house.
Right, yeah. Have conversation.
Exactly. All right, so you have a new record.
Yes.
Which is why I wanted to talk to you. And it is just called, it's called A Better Way. What does that mean?
Well, A Better Way is speaking to social consciousness, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's my invitation for people to view issues like homelessness mm-hmm. as something that is universal. Any one of us could end up on the street in any moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and... But on the same, you know, on the flip side, it's so easy to try to pretend that it doesn't exist. So, you know, I think it's the song is saying, don't look away.
Yeah.
Be present to what's happening with people. People are suffering in our society. Uh-huh. And you could, rather than rejecting it, you could at least, if you can't do anything, at least just feel compassion in your heart around that.
It's bad. It's bad.
Yes,
it's bad. I just passed, when I was driving here today, I passed a bunch of city workers dismantling. There was along the side of a freeway entrance.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of tents.
Yeah.
But they were taking them away, and it's you know, you don't want these people to lose their stuff and everything. On the other hand, it's not a good thing.
Well, I think that they had made some city ordinances where they were telling people to leave their campsites during the day and then come back or something. But I don't know if that's being effective or not.
No, they were dismantling and taking people's belongings away.
Yeah, that's so hard.
Yeah,
it's hard to watch. It's hard to see the tents. It's hard to see them being taken away.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a rotten situation all around.
So, what does your song say?
There's gotta be a better way. That's basically, you know, it's basically asking us to think out of the box. How can, you know, we've tried so many things, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, I think that there have been studies done that say, and I'm sort of conjecturing here now because I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure there have been studies that say that we can solve homelessness.
Yeah.
You know, and hunger too.
Right.
And we either haven't followed whatever directives those studies have said, or we just haven't had enough creative thinking around it, mm-hmm. you know. So Better Way is saying, we've tried some things, they're not working. So let's try some new things. Let's think about how can we make, what can make this better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you see this album as
this album wasn't a concept album.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. So I actually hadn't released an album of original music since about 2001.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had previous to that, I had released three.
What did you do? Release it when you were four?
Yeah. I had kind of a whole singer-songwriter career on the East Coast, in Boston and New York, up until 9/11, and I was living in New York City.
Wow.
And I had kind of wanted to leave the city anyway, and when 9/11 happened, I kind of, that was the needle in the haystack. So yeah. Then when I came to Portland, I thought I would continue on in that vein as a singer-songwriter, but it didn't. That didn't happen. I went more into the jazz vein.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So,
what was there? Something was there? Some inspiration that pushed you there?
Pushed me to New York?
No, to jazz.
Oh, to jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad's a jazz drummer.
Well, okay.
I started out with jazz. Yeah, I was started out with jazz in college, and high school and college, and of course grew up. My dad had a huge record collection. Grew up listening to all the greats.
Yeah.
Ella and Sarah, and my personal favorites, Nancy Wilson and Dinah Washington and
Dakota Staten. Not get enough jazz cred.
No, she doesn't. And in fact, I have a Nancy Wilson tribute band that I try to get around, you know, as much as I can. But yeah, she deserves a lot of credit. And plus, she was also a great activist for civil rights and was very outspoken about that. And she was also an actor.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And had her own show, I think, for about a minute.
Julia?
You know?
Was she Julia?
Oh, I don't know.
Who was Julia?
On what show?
Julia.
No, I don't know.
One of the first black TV shows was called Julia. I could be wrong about that, about being a Nancy Wilson, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I actually probably should know this because I have a whole tribute thing around that. But,
yeah.
But mostly, of course, focused on her music.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You have a favorite Nancy Wilson song?
Well, we do, in the band, we do the entire, along with in partnership with Pete Peterson, sax player, we do the entire Cannonball Adderley, Nancy Wilson record.
Wow.
Almost all of it.
Yeah.
And so that's my favorite record. My favorite tune? I mean, there's so many good ones.
Okay.
Probably,
do you have a favorite tune on this new album, or is it like Children?
On my album?
Yeah, the new album. Or is it like Children? You can't choose.
The CDs are like Children. The songs, probably my favorite one on the album might be Mandela. Because it has really cool, groovy, like kind of soul-oriented harmonies, you know, like you might find in a... neo soul kind of environment. But no, I like them all. The first one, Truth, Peace and Solitude, the first one on the album, has a lot of personal meaning for me as a lifelong meditator. It kind of speaks to, you know, working with mindfulness and awareness practice. And so the Truth, Peace and Solitude song, that's the first one on the record that it's actually been shortened to TPS. it talks about sitting under a tree and sort of just contemplating life. And so in meditation, you do a lot of contemplation.
How does that inform the music?
A meditation?
Yeah.
How does it inform music?
Your music.
My music.
Yeah.
Well, I think that a lot of people who are creative, you know, when they're creating something, they need a lot of time to themselves and, you know, just to kind of, you know, to shed, you know, but in terms of lyrics, it provides the kind of space that you need for thoughts to arise and to be able to not just be able to have those thoughts, but also to recognize them and then to be able to articulate them, you know, and bring them into a way in the world in a way that people can hear and understand and relate to their own experience. So I think that, yeah, that's kind of how meditation has been helpful for me in terms of creating.
Does it play into your singing at all, the actual singing?
Not really. Yeah. To me, singing is more of a technical exercise.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think more and more as I, you know, become a more and more experienced vocalist and musician overall, is that, you know, what you begin to recognize is that you want to be able to get out of your own way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that it can flow. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what, in my best moments, you know, when I'm performing, that's how, you know, that's how it is, how people can respond to the music, is when you get out of, when the performer gets out of their way and the audience can just appreciate it without whatever kind of thing you're trying to put onto the audience.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. But I mean, sort of like the whole writing process, whether it's music or words or anything else, the thing about that is, like radio, for instance, also, is there's no audience.
That's so
there's
true.
There's no approval.
That's so true.
There's no applause.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bow.
That's right. Yeah, it is kind of a very different thing from, you know, creating privately is a very different thing than performing, although as a jazz musician, you might say that, you know, when you're improvising, you're performing, you can be performing and be creating at the same time.
Yes.
You know,
well,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Right. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you are writing a song, I don't know, maybe a little bit different.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nobody to go.
Yes. Well, hopefully that comes later. Yeah. But I like to write in general. Lyrics, you know, songs are interesting because sometimes songs will write themselves. And sometimes you'll just go over and over and like, you know that you really want this song to work, you know, and eventually it might, but no guarantees, you know, but so.
And that changes over the years, how that whole process goes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wrote a piece the other day. A piece of writing for Ori Music News, and I find myself going back and editing more of myself than I used to. I used to let it all hang out.
Yeah.
Which I still do.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, you go back and oh no, this should be this and this should be that, and you know, it's always an interesting process. It really is it helps you define yourself, don't you think?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, editing is a tricky thing.
So tell me about working with Greg Goble. Of course, he was a guest here about a year ago, and it was great to talk to him. Have you been working with him for a long time?
I hadn't been working with him. I actually had been a huge fan of his for a long time.
Right.
So when he released his Rainy City CD, I kind of wore that out. But I knew him through the community, you know, the music community. And I think we had worked together a little bit here and there.
Uh-huh.
I was going to send some demos to my producer in Brooklyn, New York, who I had been working with for a long time, but I needed demos for him, and so I went to Greg's studio, and then he produced the demos.
Wow.
And I liked them a lot, and so I was like, well, maybe we should just keep these songs right here.
I understand that. Years and years ago, when I was doing a jazz show on KMHD, he gave me some demos of his, and I put them right on the air.
Yeah. That's funny.
I mean, of course, it was okay with him.
Yeah.
But
he, you know, the thing of that, one of the things that I love so much about Greg is that he is so harmonically sophisticated, and I really love that, having grown up with jazz.
Sure.
And yet he understands and respects also the song just in as a song, you know, that it's not just like an experiment in like some jazz. I don't know how to exactly say this, but I think that it's a nice balance for him to make it so, you know, really interesting for the listener harmonically, and mm-hmm. yet still retain the form of the song and the beauty of the song as it was written.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And he actually, you know, some of the songs, he didn't restructure them very much, you know, but he did add maybe like a little interlude section here and there, uh-huh. you know, where they kind of lifted it a bit. Mm-hmm. But most of the song is super slow. and there was one, I was like, maybe we should try to do a cover that's like faster, you know? Uh-huh. And so Witchy Taito is the one cover uh-huh. on the record. And he really liked that idea because it was, of course, because it's local.
Yeah.
And the Witchy Taito was written by Jim Pepper, who actually, my dad was best friends with.
Yeah. Wow.
And they were, you know, hung out all the time in high school and, you know, as kids. And so that was kind of full circle, you know, having Pepper's music on my album. And
well,
because my mother recorded Witchy Taito too.
Your mother did?
Yes.
Wow.
She had, because my mom, you know, it was an RTA recording artist for uh-huh. years uh-huh. In the 70s. Huh. Yeah. So that was really cool to have Witchy Taito on there, and I think...
Anytime that we can extend the life of that song and keep Jim Pepper's name in the world, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And also just the chant aspect of it, mm-hmm. you know, it's mm-hmm. like a meditation in itself.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, yeah. Did you ever know Jack Berry?
I don't think so. No,
okay.
That's not familiar to me.
He was a writer, mm-hmm. and was a Pepper expert.
Yeah. Well, I think isn't there like a Pepper festival now or something?
Well, sort of.
Okay.
Sort of. Anyway, I won't go into that.
I think there. I mean, you could even probably call Tom Grant a Pepper specialist. I mean, there's so many uh-huh. people who have uh-huh. loved and respected his music.
Yeah.
Around here.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Who is a bigger influence? That's a terrible question. Who's a bigger influence, your dad or your mom?
Have you ever seen Seth Meyers show?
Yeah, sure. Every night.
he has this drinking game with pop
yes.
with stars.
Yes.
And so he has this game where he asks them questions like that.
Right.
And they're like, okay, you can answer the question or you can take a shot.
A drink.
So I think I'll just take a shot on that.
All we've got is coffee, unfortunately.
No, I mean, I think both of them have been so incredibly influential uh-huh. on me. Just astonishing. I mean, my father obviously has influence with jazz, but also he's really deeply interested in all kinds of music, and including classical and world
yeah.
music.
Yeah.
And so just he taught me how to listen, you know. And my mom.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, deep listening of music.
Uh-huh.
It's like, sure, you know, you can be a musician and you might have even like a natural talent, uh-huh. you know, and just be able to play. But I think that, you know, if you're not listening to other people's music, then you're not quite reaching your,
right.
I don't know. This speculation is kind of sounding like a very hard and fast opinion, which maybe I don't have, but,
It's in there.
I don't know actually how to answer that question. I just know that deep listening has benefited me tremendously.
Well, we know what it's not. It's not like when you have some music on and you're vacuuming.
Oh, right? Right.
That's not...
Actually, that's a really good point.
Yeah
that's a really good point. Is that when my dad listens to music, uh-huh. he doesn't vacuum.
No.
He just sits there and listens.
On the other hand, I interviewed Keith Jarrett one time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was furious about people who listen to his music while they're doing housework. He was furious. He wouldn't brook it. No, indeed. On the other hand, Thomas Lauderdale always liked to say that there was victory in vacuuming.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's so funny. There are certain kinds of music, especially where music with words, I would never be able to vacuum.
So,
like Joni Mitchell or something.
Yeah. Right. Right. So, why don't you give everybody some tips, or a tip on how you should be when you're listening to music? Is there something you'd recommend to people?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Do nothing.
Oh. Right. Right. Well, yeah. That's something. That's a tip.
Yeah. I was going to add, though, about my mom, because you asked the question.
You asked.
My dad listens to a lot of instrumental music. He likes singers, but, you know, it's mostly instrumental. And my mother is a songwriter, and so I learned how to form songs and write lyrics because of her. And she's a wonderful poet, you know, and she... You know, and she grew up in the 70s where, like, those songwriters, those great songwriters that we love so much, you know, James Taylor and Carole King. Joni Mitchell, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just so many I can't even, like, but they used the way they wrote, and actually the writers of the, I don't know what's that age, the, you know, the pop songs of your... standards.
Yeah, standards, right.
You know, jazz, what we call jazz now, it used to be pop tunes then.
Yes. Really.
Also, really magical. I mean, you think about Tenderly, you know, and just think about those words and how beautiful they are.
Sure.
So I like to capture poetry in my lyrics.
You know who my favorite is for capturing the meaning of standards was Betty Carter.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You ever heard her sing "You're a Sweetheart"?
No.
Oh my God! It's like you've,
I don't think so.
It's like you've heard the song for the first time.
Wow! I have to check that out,
because she
really
got every nuance, every meaning of every word.
Yeah. Well, I got to see her perform.
Me too.
And her face.
Yeah.
Was a trip to behold.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
She would just change it, you know, change it up. Like, I don't know. Like,
I saw her once.
That was so expressive. It was like you didn't even have to, you were transported to a different place.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I saw her once in D.C. At the Blues Alley, which was a great jazz club, one of the great jazz clubs ever. Mm-hmm. And it was the night that Jimmy Carter was being inaugurated, and she had this, and it was like, it's never very far from
awesome.
You know, it's in my head. Okay. Sometimes things don't come out the way they should anymore, you know, like with names and stuff, but still, I'll never forget seeing her, and I interviewed her a couple times on the radio. It was,
that's awesome. You got to interview her.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
But are you going to ever go back to standards, or
absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. Well, I work with John Stoll quite a bit. Wonderful jazz guitarist.
And, sure.
We actually are playing, we're playing a Brazilian jazz
nice
concert in February, but we both love Brazilian jazz, but yeah, standards. I have gigs coming up where I'm just going to be singing standards and I love it. And I also love to improvise. And, actually the question is, I wonder when I'm going to actually be performing my original music.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There aren't as many opportunities for that.
Yeah. Cause you've got to do it with Greg.
Well,
don't you?
Or a band. I mean, I haven't done it with Greg. I actually haven't performed the album with Greg.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But we do all of his arrangements.
Do you think it's Do you ever worry about that you can't live up to the album? Because usually it's the other way around. Usually the album's made, and then when it's time to be performed, mm-hmm. it's better than the album. You know what I mean?
I don't know about that, yeah. but we uh-huh. do perform the album just as it's recorded.
That's great.
Yeah, and yeah, we play Jack London, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Alberta Street Pub with this mm-hmm. band, but I don't know really where to go with it. I mean, I'd like to try to expand to another venue.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have 1905 anymore.
Yeah. Oh, and you performed it at 1905
as well. Oh, I
know you
did.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So
you, when you recorded these, you did it at his studio?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What were those sessions like? You would come, you would send him a demo, right? So he knew the song?
I would go into Greg's and uh-huh. I would sing it.
Ah.
I would play it on guitar. That's what I did.
Really?
Yeah, I played because I wrote all my songs on guitar. Uh-huh. So I would come in, I'd play it with the guitar, and then he would just replace it. He would just... So then with that, then he would... I would go home, and he would make a uh-huh. demo. Uh-huh. And then I would come back in, do the vocals and back vocals. And then we would talk about... Sometimes we would talk about, like... with digital, it's so easy to kind of change things now. It's like if we wanted to add another section, I think, I don't know, uh-huh. we probably did that. Or, you know, I'd go and come back, maybe redo a vocal or, mm-hmm. and then do some background vocals. And we'd talk, there was a lot of discussion around back vocals.
Really?
Because I'm not, while I love singing back vocals, I'm not uh-huh. particularly creative about creating them. And so he would kind of like, he would write stuff and then he would play it and then I would just sing along with what he played.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so that was
if people only knew how the sausage was made.
Yeah,
you know, it's really true. Really is true.
Mm-hmm. There was some of that actually. I've done that before because when I did my album with My Course Fall and mm-hmm. I was mixing with Bob Stark, and Bob would actually help me with some of the back vocals and did the same thing. So I do that a lot.
Yeah.
Sing along to people who
have better ideas
than me.
Yeah, I've had Bob on the podcast.
Yeah.
Interesting guy.
He's a great guy.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Uh-huh.
And I really have so much respect for Oregon Music News.
Thanks.
And you giving, you know... local artists platform.
Well, it's kind of that's what it's all about. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know, somehow we persisted.
Yeah, that's right.
All the information will be up on the page here.
Okay.
Now, is there a tune you would like us to go out with?
Let's see. How about?
Yes. Yes.
I think it's just going to have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Better Way.
Yeah.
Better Way.
Sure. Sure.
Better Way or.
Now that's the Homeless tune, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, great. What better?
Know. Okay.
Yeah, really.
But
really.
It could easily
and
be.
And it's the title tune.
It's the title track, yeah.
Well, geez, that cinches it, doesn't it? Otherwise, you know, you would have named it something else.
Well, you know, I think Better Way is kind of indicates that there are some of, like, TPS points to, you know, uh-huh. a better way also, you know, but more on a personal level. And Mandela, of course, mm-hmm. you know, also mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. talks about that. So there's sort of a thread going through the
album. Nelson Mandela.
Yes, Nelson Mandela.
And not just what is it? What's a Mandela?
I don't know.
Oh, it's an Eastern European thing. I mean, Eastern European. It's an Eastern religion thing.
Oh.
Which I know nothing about.
Oh, a mandala.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Which I know nothing
about.
Not,
actually, my mom wrote a song called Mandala.
Wow.
Mandala. No, this is Mandela, like Nelson Mandela.
Like Nelson. Yeah, yes. Gotcha.
Good. Thanks for pointing
that
out.
You can't have too many tribute songs to Nelson Mandela, that's for sure.
That's right.
All right. Well, okay.
All right.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you
and as
so
we
much.
Like to do at the end of these, we like to say, that's entertainment.
Mandela.